following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
I want to talk tonight about the problem of fear and anxiety. Anybody ever have any fear or anxiety in their life? How about this week? Anybody struggle with fear and anxiety in any areas? I want to do some mass deliverance of fear and anxiety. If you look at Genesis 3:10, we're going to look at a couple of verses. I really want to focus on a few verses and then go right into ministry. I've decided that I would lay a foundation in the scripture and then we'll do something about the fear. I don't want to just look at the Bible. I want to do something. How would you like to leave here with a whole lot less fear and a whole lot less problems with anxiety? You know, fear is a real bummer. I can remember, I'm going to be honest with you, I lived with a companion called fear for decades. For decades. In my life. Even after I got saved. Praise God, I had a significant less amount after I got saved. But I had a lot of fear. And a lot of it had to do with, partially, with the way I was raised. I was raised by a good man, a good woman, my parents. But there was, with all of our parents, there were some problems. And some of the problems, particularly in regard to my father and the way he raised it, did a lot of anger. It instilled a stronghold of fear in my life. And fear was a stronghold for many, many years in my life. Frankly, until I came into the ministry of deliverance in the early 80s, fear had a pretty significant, I just kind of had settled to the fact that I was going to just suffer from certain levels of anxiety and fear at times. And that's really not good when you settle that you're going to live with something that you don't need to live with. Amen. And I'm standing here to tell you today, in the last 20 years or so, it's been about 20 years, I rarely experience fear. It is a significant, rare occurrence. It happens. Or anxiety. I rarely experience it. And, you know, there's some fear that's kind of healthy. I mean, you know, if you're driving down the road and you start weaving around, you better be afraid, amen, and drive straight. There's some fear that just kind of keeps you sensible. But I'm talking about the low-grade sense of gnawing torment, the sense of anxiety, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about what's going to happen. You know, God doesn't want to live under that. And here's the first mention of fear in the Bible. I don't know if you ever saw this. Genesis 3:10 is the first time it's ever found in the Bible. And you know where it is. It's right after Adam and Eve had sinned. And they got nailed. God was looking for them. They were hiding. And God said, verse 9, "Where are you, Adam?" And he said, verse 10, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was what?" Hello? Afraid. It's the first mention of fear in the Bible. Now, notice what precipitated the fear. I want to show you something significant tonight. There's something that came before the fear. In verse 6, there was sin. In verse 7, there was shame. In verse 8, there was guilt. Sin, shame, and guilt precipitated fear. They committed sin. You know, God said, don't eat of the tree. They ate of the tree. First thing happened after they sinned is shame hit them. And what did they do when they felt the shame? Anybody? They covered themselves. That's what you do with shame. And then guilt. Because the guilt caused them to run and hide. They hid from God. So sin, shame, and guilt precipitated fear. Now here's the first principle I want to share with you tonight about fear. Here, listen carefully. Fear is often a symptom and not the problem. Fear is often a symptom of a deeper dysfunction in your life. It's often not the problem. If you just say, well, I need deliverance from fear, and I've had a lot of people come and pray, I need prayer for fear. I'll say, fine, well, let's pray and ask the Lord what's the root behind fear. Because a lot of ways I think fear is like anger. Anger, I believe, a lot of times is a red flag showing there's something else going on. I don't think anger is a problem. Anger is a symptom of a deeper problem. Would you agree with me that? Anger is usually a symptom of a rebellion or a wound or some area where you feel like your rights are violated, an idolatry. There's some root behind anger. You can deal with your anger when you start dealing with a deeper dysfunction. So it is with fear. I think fear is a symptom of deeper dysfunctions. And here we have laid out real clearly. The first there was sin, violation of God's command, subsequent shame, and then guilt. And the result was fear. And a lot of times people are operating in fear, and if you look under the surface, a lot of what's going on, there was some sin somewhere. They covered up, they made excuses for it, they justified, rationalized, or blamed. You know, there's some level of shame down there, some self-hate, some area where they're embarrassed or humiliated, don't want to be exposed, they live behind some kind of illusion or a mask or front of facade, and maybe live in some kind of low-grade guilt or sense of unworthiness, you know, and if that stuff's operative in you, guess what? You can live under fear. When Mr. Fear comes knocking on the door, in fact, the door isn't even going to be on the hinges. He'll be able to come right into the window. Are you with me tonight? Once you deal with the root of fear, fear then can be rebuked for the spirit it is. Because I believe from Genesis on, fear becomes a lot of mankind. And I'm going to show you in a minute, fear is a spirit. It is a spirit you can rebuke. Y'all know the verse I'm talking about, don't you? We're not given what? Spirit. But you can't just rebuke a spirit if it's got ground. If there's a reason, it's there. You got to find out what's there for. How did it get there? You know, people come through this ministry all the time looking for deliverance. It happens all the time. They say, well, I would like deliverance from this and that and the other malady or affliction or problem or situation or bondage or stronghold in my life. And we say, fine. Well, here's something called a Preparation for Deliverance Manual. It's something I put together. You have to basically go through it and, like, give a spiritual diagnostic. Have you ever been to the doctor? You go to a new doctor. First thing he does is have you fill out a piece of paper. Am I right? It says, what ailments did you have, right? And what do you have to suffer from this and this? What did your parents have? Am I right? It's just physical. So we do the same thing spiritually. And I encourage people, they want to get deliverance, and I say, well, first, let's go ahead and let's do a diagnostic. Let's find out what the real problem is. It may be that you want to be delivered of this, but there may be a reason it's there. There may be a bunch of root stuff. You know, I found a lot of people suffer from catastrophic fear in their life because they made an inner vow. I'm serious. A lot of the bondage in people's lives with anger or fear or where they pummel down into a time of depression or heaviness. You know how people kind of go into a dark period or they get real moody for a season? You know, 9 times out of 10, it's usually there was an inner vow. There was some point in their life where at some point earlier they said, nobody's ever going to do that to me. Somewhere at their point in their life, they went, no. It may have been to mom or dad. It may have been to a teacher, maybe to a friend. I ain't nobody ever going to do that. And they make a vow and they lock themselves down. And you know, when you say, I'm not needing nobody going to ever do that to me. And then you get saved. And Jesus says, I want all of who you are. But there's this area if you say, yeah, but guess who's going to come knocking on the door? Because the Holy Ghost wants you to let that thing go. Can you hear amen? I was hurt. I was humiliated. I was rejected. I was wounded. Ain't nobody going to ever hurt me like that again. And we make that vow way down deep inside. We may have made it. We were 5, 10, 15 years old. Somewhere we locked ourselves down. And the scriptures are clear about vows. Vows are powerful. Word vows, self-inflicted vows are like self-inflicted curses. They lock you down. And they'll be operative your whole life. I've dealt with people in their 70s that have suffered since their teens because of a vow. And then you finally all illuminate it. You say, you know, and maybe somewhere you've just locked yourself down. There's an area inside of you that's not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's been the source of your misery for decades. Because there's somewhere you're retaining the right to be in control. Because you don't want to be hurt. And I would submit when you come to Jesus, you got to give up the right to not be hurt. You know what I mean? That's the fine print of the gospel. Jesus said, take up your what? Huh? Your couch? Take up your cross. You know, even as I'm speaking here, I'm kind of sensing some of us. You know, when I say some of these things, I can kind of hear it in your mind. Your mind's going, oh, Lord. And sometimes the Holy Ghost is just quick, and you're right there while I'm talking. That's right. That's it. That's the root. The Lord showed me one time. I was in a meeting. And there was this kid, I remember that grade, it's embarrassing to talk about this. It's good when you get an adult, you talk about these embarrassing things when you're a kid, it didn't hurt as bad. At the time I was mortified, I was in 8th grade. And I was a wimp. I was a wimp 8th grader. Because there was this kid that would lock me under his arm like this and drag me, you know how in recess everybody go out to the basketball court and hang on? He would lock me under his arm and he'd drag me around like this. He'd do that every day for about 5 minutes. And I would avoid him, and I'd kind of, but he would find me and lock and headlock me and drag me. I did that for a few months. And, I don't know what the problem, you know, I go back to sleep because everything in me, there is something so deep inside me that stands against people that do that kind of thing to me. There's something so deep inside of it that makes a stand against people that abuse people. That would have stood up to this guy, this punk, this, you know, bully, you know, kids are cruel in junior high. Y'all know that? That was a cruel age. But you know what? The Lord showed me one day that I so hated this guy because he'd do that to me, but I was so full of fear because of my dad, because of where I was raised, that I was scared to death to confront him. But I somewhere made a vow, ain't nobody going to do that. You know, and the Lord showed that to me. And he said to me, this is some years ago, he said, for years, the enemy's been headlocking you, and dragging you around, and you aren't ever going to get free until you release that vow towards that kid back in junior high. When I finally released him and forgave him, and said, Lord, whatever, forgive me for the hate, forgive me for the bitterness, I forgive him. Something released between the enemy and me. Are y'all, is that making sense? So, I mean, the Holy Ghost may quicken something to you. He's done it to me. I'll be preaching him quick. I'll go, Lord, sometimes I'll write it down the margin. Holy Ghost, he shows me another one. Because these are like beautiful gems from God. When the Holy Ghost shows you something from your personal past, your unique childhood, one instant, you know, I'm telling you, when you get that rhema from God, grab a hold of it, man. Yeah, grab a hold of it and follow it through and humble yourself, forgive, or do whatever. So you can be free. You can be free from decades of pain. Amen? Misery. I mean, unless you want to be miserable, this is good stuff. The Holy Ghost's purpose is to set us free, set the captives free, open the prison doors to them that are bound. Preaching the word is that these ministries, when I minister the word, I like to minister it so that the Spirit can accompany the word and speak something specific to you. To get your feet. Look at Psalm 55:3. You know, from that point on, in Genesis, fear and anxiety became the lot of mankind. Here's an example. Psalm 55:3 says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, this is 55:3, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. That's a state, a bad day in the life of the psalmist. You know, fear is incredibly debilitating. Fear has a way of sapping all your strength and your vitality. It is a pervasive spirit in the kingdom of darkness. And I believe of all the emotions one can experience, fear is the most miserable. Look at 1 John 4:18. A couple more places here. We're not going to look at a whole lot of places. 1 John 4:18. Fear has got to be one of the most miserable emotional states to be in. 1 John 4:18. Y'all know this. There is no fear in love, for perfect or mature love, agape love, casts out fear, because fear, King James reads, has what? Is that how your versions read? Fear has torment, punishment, and he that fears is not made mature in love. You know, I really believe a lot of fear in people's lives is rejected, listen, and is rejected, is related, is rooted in rejection and insecurity. You see, most fear in our life is rooted in not knowing God's love. Let me give you an example. This seems so silly now. But I have learned over the years that God loves me. Are you learning that in your life? Not that God loves Chris, but that God loves you. Are you learning that in your life? You know, I remember when I was a relatively new in the Lord. It was 19. Actually, I wasn't new in the Lord. I'd known him about, 10 years. It was 81, 1981. And I got this, no, I'm sorry, it was 77. Okay, so I'd known him about 6 years. I got this Volkswagen. It was my first car. I was 25 years old. I got my first car. It was a Volkswagen Bug. One of those old cute little bugs. All right? Those things were great. Keep a little bubble gum, a couple of paper clips, and you could keep that thing running all day long. You know, had an engine in the back. And I got this job, 77, 78, out there at Campbell Road exit off of 290. You know where that is? Mangum and Campbell Road. What's that? The Spring, not Spring, but it's Spring Branch. So I got this job, and I lived in the East End here, Houston, not far from University of Houston. And I took my little Volkswagen every day all the way out there. All right. And I got this job from a brother at the church. I was part of a big church, and he owned this company, and he hired me, and I worked my way up. But I remember, for some reason, I was so terrified about everything that one day I went out there, and my Volkswagen wouldn't start. Just wouldn't start. And I remember I was absolute. I remember to this day the fear. I literally went inside shaking for fear. And because I thought, okay, the Volkswagen won't start. I'm not going to make it to work today. I'm going to lose my job. He's going to fire me. And then it would, if that happens, I'll have no more money. I mean, it just went down. And you know, in my brain, I'm going to end up having to go back to New Orleans and live with my parents. I mean, it took me all the way down there because I couldn't get the car to start. I'm going to have to go back and I'll be shamed. I was in a miserable. Does that ever happen to you? It just started this, and well, this was happening, then this was going to, then this, oh my God, and then this was going to happen, and then this, and I just rode that train all the way to the end. And I remember almost being in a fetal position. It was stupid. So finally I prayed, and just said, Lord, what to do? And the Lord spoke to me, the Holy Spirit, as he's so faithful to do. He said, call your next door neighbor. And it was a guy who lived next door. It was one of those shade tree mechanic guys. He just happened that day to not be working. And he came over and fixed it. Now, that's such a minor thing, but I remember then thinking how little faith I had in the Lord. How little trust I had that God was going to take care of me. And you know, I began to watch the Lord over the years. In fact, it's at the point now that if things are not working out, and there's problems, all I can do is go for a walk. Go for a walk. And start recounting the faithfulness of the Lord from the day I was saved. Now, folks, we're talking 33 years now. It's embarrassing. After about 5 or 10 years, for me not to trust him is downright embarrassing. He's never failed me. Has he ever failed you? Has he ever failed you? Now, has he kind of seemed like he was going to fail you up to the last minute? Has he kind of gotten right up to the edge? Hello? But has he always come through? That's right. Everything's beautiful in whose time? His time. But you know what I've found? That one thing that's eliminated a lot of fear in my life is just knowing that he loves me. I have a Father in heaven who told me not to fret. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. He takes care of my needs. But you know, I think there's a difference between faith and trust. You know, faith is a, what? It's a gift of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, right? It's a gift. It's a gift of faithfulness. A gift of faith. It's a fruit. The fruit of faithfulness. When you're saved, it's like a seed that God puts in you, faith. Okay? But as you walk by faith, something happens. That seed grows and it begins to mature to something called trust. Because trust in the Lord, you know, trust is, I think, matured faith. You get to where you trust in the Lord, you just trust Him. You just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Nothing to work out. And I know now, praise God, after all these years, I got a lot of trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. And you know what it is? Faith by experience equals trust. Experiential faith equals trust. Now, y'all been witness what I'm saying? How many of y'all walk with the Lord at least 10 years? Would you agree that you have more trust in Him now? Why? Because you've been that much. Isn't it just simply experience? He's come through here, right? He came through here. My God, he came through here. I was freaking out. He came through here. And he came through here. At some point, it's embarrassing to not believe. Can I hear that? Unto whom much is given, to him should be much required. God requires of us to live according to the light we have. You know, he understands when you're a young babe in the Lord, you freak out. I mean, remember the disciples who was out in the boat? I mean, they're out with him. Here's with the Messiah himself. And the boat starts to fill up with water. They said, Master, don't you care that we perish? I mean, that's the first thing. Don't you care? So it came right out of their mouth. They didn't believe he cared. See? But later on, you follow those disciples in the book of Acts. Years later, they were a little more, you know, after some trials and tribulations, they realized he does care. When Peter and Paul and Silas were in the prison, they weren't freaking out. They were singing praises, and God opened the prison for them. There was trust. Look at Romans 8:15. A few more places. You know, fear is bondage. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You know, Jesus tasted fear to the fullest. I really believe that Jesus had to experience sin, the consequence of sin and fear, to a level we cannot fathom. Now, I don't know what it means when you're so afraid that you sweat blood. But that was how Jesus was in the garden. He literally says his sweat was blood, drops of blood. I mean, Jesus was terrified of what was to come. Now, you know, I'm sure many of y'all have seen the recent movie by Mel Gibson called The Passion. And, I mean, if that doesn't cause you to, knowing that that was coming. But, you know, I really believe the real horror that Jesus experienced was even greater than that. It wasn't just the physical horror that that movie depicts. There was a greater horror. It was that he was going to be separated from the security he had with his Father. And Jesus experienced fear to the depths. He drank the cup to the dregs. You know why? So we wouldn't have to have it. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Jesus has made a way. We don't have to live through fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, turn there. Now, we recognize fear for what it is. It is a spirit. For God has not given us, you know, the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I really believe, folks, you have the authority, and I have the authority, to command fear to leave. In Jesus' name. Anxiety. But how many of you have been felt anxious or fearful, and you commanded it to leave and nothing happens? I rebuke you, fear! And you just feel afraid. Or you feel more afraid because now it's not leaving. You're afraid because you rebuked it and didn't leave, so you're even more afraid. You're afraid, oh no, now I'm afraid that I don't even have authority to rebuke it to leave. And it gets worse. Well, what I've found, it's like anything else. This principle is found in James 4, I think it's 8. This is the principle. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and what? So the resisting of the devil, the commanding the spirit to leave is the B part. The A part is always submitting yourself to God. You with me? So if you're feeling fearful, the first thing you do is you go to the Lord. You say, Lord, I am full of fear. I am anxious and troubled about many things. I'm tormented by this situation. Lord, help me, Jesus. I come to you. Help me. Now let me give you a wonderful passage you can read to the Lord. It's in 2 Timothy 3:16. I've shared this before. No, I'm sorry. It's 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And I quote this verse to the Lord all the time. In fact, just this week, I found myself quoting it to him. Saying, now, Lord, you said this is a powerful weapon in the battle of fear. You ready? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Listen to this verse. Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And what I tell the Lord is I say, Lord, you said in 2 Thessalonians 3:16 that you will give me peace always by all means. And I'm not feeling peace here. There's a situation that's unresolved. There's a circumstance or the dynamic that I won't know the resolution from maybe in 2 days. And I'm tormented. And I tell the Lord this. But you promise peace always and all. I know I don't have to sit here anxious for 2 days until something's resolved. I can experience peace now. Do y'all believe that? Well, the Spirit was given there to show us things to come. John 16. Sometimes the Holy Ghost, I believe God will, if you come to Him, you say, Lord, I absolutely, with everything inside of me, am determined to live in peace in every moment. I don't care what's hitting me, what situation. I know there's a place of peace. If you come to him like that, you know what will happen? The Holy Ghost will begin to speak to you. You know what he'll begin to show you? He'll begin to show you why the fear is there. He'll begin to reveal to you, well, this is why you're feeling fearful here. And you say, well, okay, you deal with that. But let's say there's a very viable situation sitting there on the horizon that's going to cause severe insecurity or problems in your life if something doesn't get resolved and there's no way you can know about it right now. Right? You know what I'm talking about? I gave a sermon on this not long ago. God wants to show you things to come. I really believe the Holy Ghost prophetic spirit can come on you and God can show you just enough to give you peace. You don't have to live as other men live. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Am I making sense? We don't have to live in anxiety because it's a spirit. And I've seen that thing. I have seen it comes in a myriad of ways. I've seen that thing come in my room. I was at a bed and breakfast in Brenham one night. I remember for some reason, this was about a year ago, and I go there about once a month for a couple of days. Every pastor ought to have at least 2 days a month he goes off and gets alone. I tell pastors this, you know, if you got to preach the word, you need to go get still. And one day I was there about a year and a half ago. It's the same room. I've been going there for 10 years, 10, 12 years now. Wonderful little place. These folks, they gave me a cut rate 12 years ago. They've never raised the rate. And I was sitting back there, and it's just kind of like this little house way in the back of the property. It's real quiet. It's just gardens all around. It's real still. And I love going back there, and I'm more times than not, the Holy Spirit spoke about many things. And one night I was back there. And you know when you've been to a place many, many times, you just kind of know the piece of it, you know? Well, something woke me up in the middle of the night, and this thing came in the room. I don't know what it was, but it was kind of multicolored. I was half awake, you know, in that half awake state. This thing, it came in the room, and it enveloped me on the bed. And I was absolutely terrified. Just full of fear, and for no reason. And then I began to get sick. And you know how you feel when you get a sore throat coming on? That kind of feverish, I mean, that came on me, this fear. I mean, it was just, and suddenly I'm sitting there going, what in the, and it dawned on me, I'm under major attack right now. And it woke me up, I couldn't sleep, I was full of fear, oh my God, I'm going to get sick, I'm going to have sore throat. I hate those sore throat things, you know, 2 or 3 days, and fever, and I was terrified, and I cried out to the Lord, Jesus, what's going on? And the Lord spoke to me. There had been a few days before, I'd opened a door to something that I had never closed. It was a door that I had opened. I have found that the enemy never comes, but we open the door somewhere. Can you amen? You can't say, well, the devil made me do it. If we're honest, the Holy Ghost always shows up and says, no. There's a reason he got in this room. Because you've had this door open. And I sat there and said, oh, Jesus, I repent with a capital R. I do not want to suffer the consequences of this thing. And I really repented. And I prayed in tongues, and I never forget that night. The Holy Ghost came on me. I stood up in that bed. I was kind of a real firm bed, fortunately. I was standing, and I was fighting, commanding that thing to leave, just doing spiritual warfare. And it completely lifted out of the room. I was healed. That whole feeling lifted. But, I mean, I've had a lot of bouts with the enemy, but I think the one time I actually saw that thing, it was like this cloud. A demonic cloud that came down. How many of y'all felt that cloud come on? You know what I mean? And then, you know, sometimes the Lord lets us see it. It happens a lot, we don't see it. But sometimes you see it, and it kind of comes on you. It overwhelms you, and you go, ah! And it's all familiar. You just freak out. But I've learned, praise God, first thing is submit yourself to God. Oh, Lord, show me where I opened the door. Show me what I've done. Show me, is some area of idolatry, some area of whatever that open ground, because I hate fear. I'm addicted to peace. Man, I'll do whatever. Keep my peace. You know what I mean? Are y'all with that way? You know, I have no problem standing up in public. I mean, I don't care how many people, 100 people, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 100 million, I don't care, stand up, humble myself if I get my peace back. It's more valuable than me. I don't care. Whatever. Got to do it. Just get my peace back. The peace of God is the most wonderful thing in the universe. The peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Now, in conclusion, we're going to listen one last part. Matthew 6. Jesus told us how to live a life free of fear. Before we pray, we're going to look at a couple of these verses in this chapter. Matthew 6:31. Turn there. Y'all seen these verses before, but let's look at them from a different slant. Therefore, King James reads, be not anxious, or do not take thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what do we drink, or how will we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Did you know that God knows what clothes you need? Huh? You know, actually, sometimes when I have a need of certain clothes, I will pray and go to the store and ask the Lord, because I hate running from store to store. Most guys do. So I just say, Lord, I'll go to Ross Dress for Less or one of these. I'll go to a garage sale. Say, Lord, will you please have, and sure enough, you know, a lot of times, there it is. Thank you, Jesus. You just saved me a whole lot of running around. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. I think New American Standard reads, be not anxious for tomorrow. For the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Now listen a minute. We'll talk about anxiety a minute. Did you know a lot of anxiety is rooted in tomorrow? A lot of our anxiety is rooted in tomorrow. Listen, I am preaching this on a Friday night, June the what? 25th. Tomorrow is Saturday, June the 26th. I would venture to say there's probably certain ones in this room that there's a level of anxiety on you because of tomorrow or the day after or maybe Monday. And you're carrying the morrow's anxiety. A lot of anxiety is rooted in the future. Now, there's some real principles here to be free from the future. You know, the future really is the least thing like eternity. The past is frozen. You know, there's nothing you can do about the past. Can you hear a man? It's done, done. All God can do is redeem it. And the future, well, what can you do about the future? You can't read, you just gotta live the timeline until you get there. To worry about the future, to be anxious about it, is somehow you're not understanding what it means to live in the present. Because in the present moment, there's this grace to be at peace. Regardless of what the forebodings of the future. By the way, did you know there's always gonna be something in the future gonna make you afraid? What is that verse Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but what? There's always something gonna be coming down. Always something gonna freak you out coming down the road. So there are a couple of keys to these verses. Here are the keys to being free from anxiety. You ready? The first is get your priorities straight. Straighten out your priorities. Seek first what? A lot of our fear is because we're putting other things first. A lot of our anxiety is because we've made other things to be our idols. We seek first my deal. Like if a Martian landed in the United States and wanted to find out what Christianity was like, and he went to the average believer in the United States, he would think, the Bible says, seek first where you shall eat, what you shall drink, where you shall live, what you shall do, what you shall be occupied with, where you shall spend your money, and then seek the kingdom of God. Am I right? First thing is, get your priorities straight. Seek first the kingdom of God. And his what? Do you know what that means, to seek first his righteousness? Anybody? We've always heard that. What does that mean? You say, well, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Let me give you teeth into that, show you what it practically means. What does righteousness mean? Doesn't it mean what's right? Righteousness speaks of the state of what's right, what's just, what's fair, right? It's like justification, righteousness. So you know what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? You know what it means? It's just to be, stand up for what's right. That's all it is. Just stand up for what's right. Do what's right. Amen? Do what's right by people. Husbands, do what's right by your spouse. Spouses, do what's right by your husbands. Kids, do what's right by your parents. Parents, do what's right by your kids. Neighbors, do what's right by your neighbor. Parishioners, do what's right by your pastor. Pastor, do what's right for your parishioners. Employee, do what's right by your employer. That's what it means. Do what's right. What's right? Well, what's God telling you what's right? Be honest. Right? Make it right. Keep your conscience clear. Humble yourself. Make things right. Just do what's right. Do the right thing. That's all it is. This is not complicated. Just do the right thing. Quit justifying doing the wrong thing. Quit saying I'm doing the wrong thing because I'm justified because they did wrong to me. That's not seeking first righteousness. That's called seeking first wrongedness. Am I making sense? If you seek first the kingdom of his righteousness, what is the result? What is the B part of that verse? What? Huh? Y'all shy out there. And all these things will be added. In other words, if you will just stand up for what's right, guess what? God will kick in everything else you need in your life. It's that simple. God's just looking for someone that's got the guts to do what's right. Do the right thing. To do even if no one knows it. Somebody once said, character is what you do in secret. Nobody knows. A lot of us are all spiritual around other people, but how about when there's something that nobody knows and nobody may ever know? What did you do? Did you do what was right? Amen. That's what it means. Just do the right thing in your life and the lives of others. Be honest. Bible says, as much as lies in you, live peaceably. There's a verse that says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide things honest. Be vulnerably honest. And you know what? God will come up behind you and good measure pressed down. You cannot outgive God if you just do what's right. This business that I'm involved in with helping folks with in the financial world. What I really like about this company, they have a motto, and it is do the right thing. That's really cool. When we meet with a family and help with their finances, I know David first got me in this business. Remember that? David used to tell me that. I'd ask him things when he was in it with me. And I would ask him this. And remember David used to say, well, just do the right thing. It was really cool. Even in the early days of it. We do the right thing to my people. We help people. Even if it's to the cost of me as an analyst, I do the right thing. Because the philosophy is if you do the right thing with your clients will be well-treated. And guess what? They'll give you good referrals. And they'll be good, honest referrals. And they will sell you. They will sell you because you did right by them. Isn't that cool? Simple. That's why one of the reasons I was attracted to this company. And it's not the only company like that. I'm sure there are a lot of, but there's a lot of them that aren't. But once in a while you find those that are, and they work. Because it falls in sync. You go, this makes sense. This is just doing unto others what I would have what? Do y'all remember that golden rule? Do unto others as you have them do unto you. What's the second command here? Folks, I'm telling you, if your attitude is, I'm going to do the right thing, you have just really, seriously undone a lot of anxiety in your life. Right there. Here's the prescription. What's the second thing he says? In verse 34, be not anxious. It's a command. And here's the thing. Listen. Listening and yielding to fear is sin. Did you hear that? Because Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Did you know listening to fear is sin? When you listen, like I told you that story years ago, how I just listened to that voice and said, oh my God, and this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen. Ah! You know, dig a hole, jump in it. That's sin. Lord, forgive me for listening to those demons. Man, they're ready to chatter in your ear, aren't they? Beat you up. Oh my God. What if this and this? You ever have somebody you know, they kind of give you a bad look? You kind of walk in at work or somebody kind of looks at you and just kind of looks away and they ignore you, they reject you a little bit. That never happened. And then you get all this sense of, oh my God, what have I done? Oh my God, they're mad at me. Oh my God. And then you start getting mad at them. And you start thinking about what they've done to you. You know, and the truth was, they have a headache. They didn't even see you. You know, they just were spacing out for a minute. But how many times we take a little bit of rejection, we build this big old mountain out of a molehill, right? And we just get convinced that they're mad at me, and they rejected me, and then I'll just reject them before the first poor guy over here didn't do nothing, I mean, you know. And all of a sudden they come up, how you doing? Wow, I'm fine. Man, what is your deal? Well, it's because hours later you just kind of looked at him, didn't smile. So, you know, you build this, you know, that's just demons in your head. How many of y'all have taken a shower and there's this running dialogue in your head about somebody? Come on. You're just sitting there. Are you riding down the road? There's this running dialogue about that jerk and they never do this and it's just not right. And it's just but they always do that. And they've always done that. That's just not fair. And come on. Be honest. How many of y'all have it happen today? You know, that's a demon. the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes to you. He's the accuser of the brethren. He just accuses. That's satanic, man. I've learned to shut that thing down when that thing says, Satan, stop in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I bless those that curse me. I pray for those that despitefully abuse me. You know, if you've just decided, if you reject me, it's okay. I'm just going to bless you. Then you're not going to buy into some false rejection. You know? Amen? Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you and abuse you. It's okay. I'm a pincushion. It's all right. Stick me. I got Jesus. Thick my skin a little bit. Amen? Quit being so oversensitive, freaking out. When you got Jesus, you don't have to be thin-skinned. Amen? When you got the Lord, people, it says you can, it's a glory of man to overlook an offense. People are going to offend you. People are going to do stupid things. People are going to be rude. People are going to be moody. People are going to just blap at you. Am I right? So maturity is, bless them, Lord, forgive them, have mercy on them. I'm extend grace to them because I'm going to be the same way next day, and I want them to be treat me that way. Remember that verse in the love chapter? So it might be good some time to look at 1 Corinthians 13 and put your name in there. Remember those attributes of love, anybody? You don't have to turn to it, but there's one particular one that says, love is not easily provoked. It doesn't think evil. It doesn't behave itself rudely, and it doesn't always see, and it doesn't pop. It does not easily provoked. And boy, the Lord nailed me on that one day. You know, my wife, when we first got married, I mean, she just, you know, she provoked me left and right. And I realized, she wasn't just being herself. I was easily provoked. I just didn't know what it meant to love, go the extra mile and love unconditionally. But it's the same thing with fear. It's these voices that speak in you. You've got to learn to say, no, Satan, in Jesus' name, I will not receive those voices. Praise you, Jesus. You know, if you don't speak in tongues, you are missing the greatest weapon against fear. Because when that spirit comes, I just begin to speak in tongues or sing in the spirit. And I'm telling you, sometimes within 15 seconds, it's gone. Just like that. This piece. Not every time, but a lot of times. What's the third thing he says? Look. These are keys. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Do you see that? Tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Now listen, what does that mean? That is a spiritual warfare promise. That's a spiritual warfare. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. What God is saying, sufficient unto the day. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, but God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In other words, there's going to be grace tomorrow to take care of it. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. His mercies are new every morning. When the sun rises, lots of mercy and grace. Don't go trying to solve tomorrow's situations with today's grace. There's no grace with hypotheticals. You know, he's trying to just, there's no grace for tomorrow. Just live today. God's going to rise with a whole bucket full of it tomorrow. Hey, aren't you glad we don't have to live tomorrow today? Today's enough, right? Isn't that what he goes on to say in the next verse? Next part. Sufficient unto the day, what?
Is the evil.
And that's the last principle he lays out. First is to get your priorities straight. Second is don't be anxious. Third is tomorrow's going to take care of itself. And the fourth is, listen, sufficient unto the day is the evil. Look, God knows that our struggle every day is with evil. It is. It's evil in the world. The world is hitting you with evil, lust and greed and, you know, fear and tantalizing you, seducing you. Or it's evil in others. You see evil inside other people that you're tempted to judge. Or it's evil in yourself. Where you're tempted to feel guilty and beat you. See, it's just evil. And Jesus says, sufficient of the day is evil. You got grace for today's evil. There's a wonderful verse in Romans that says, where sin abounds, grace does what? Much more abound. Oh, that's a wonderful verse. You want to hear one of the most freeing things I ever heard in my life to set me free from guilt? I mean, I heard this down in Argentina. It was the most freeing thing I've ever heard. And I still quote it to myself. It's down in my bones now because I heard this about 10 years ago. And it's this. That holiness is, holiness is to obey the Lord and do things right. And righteousness. Can I amen? Isn't it holiness is to be pure and not sin? Remember that verse in 1 John? He says, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. Is it possible to not sin? Yes, but I also think holiness is if you do sin, are you ready? It's to embrace the grace. Because then he says, these things have I written to you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is propitiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2, verse 2, there it is. So holiness is to not sin, but if you do sin, then embrace the grace. That's holiness, amen? If you live on the B part, you become legalistic and full of guilt. There are people part of religions, holiness religion, that just, you know, they finally have attained unto some level of righteousness on their own deeds, and all they end up doing is despising everybody else, like that Pharisee. Because they're at this level of righteousness. Whereas the guy in the back, oh, he probably tried to keep the law, but he kept blowing it. That's why I could say is, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He was embracing the grace. So if you ever fall into guilt, you just go to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. Thank you for your grace. It is ever abundant and merciful. And I embrace the grace today. And I forgive myself. And get yourself off the... Release yourself. Quit beating yourself up. It's okay. But for the grace of God, you've done worse. Are y'all out there tonight? Is this in any way ministering to anybody? This is the best promise of all. We only have to contend with today's evil. You ready? You know what anxiety is? Love this definition. It is fighting tomorrow's evil today. That's all anxiety is. We're not called to it. And I tell you what, man. I'm just so glad I've known Jesus as long as I have. Because I just got so much more peace. And it doesn't mean I don't have the same problems. It's just I've learned, okay, that's okay. Jesus, you are the Lord. You are the man. You want me to learn to live one day at a time in peace, and I put this burden on you. And I trust you. And I'm going to live today in the Spirit. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I mean, it's just the grace of God to even wake up, right? Somebody once said, when you're asleep, you're kind of in this limbo land. They don't really know where you are. You're kind of your body's activity slow, your heartbeat slows down, you're kind of going to this. I mean, you may never wake up. In fact, if you ever die, that's the best way to die, is in your sleep. But if God in his infinite mercy decides that you wake up tomorrow, right? And you wake up, you go, all right, another day. And mercy's anew every morning, and his grace is sufficient. Now I can face whatever it is I was fretting about yesterday. There's grace for it today. Let's pray. Father, I pray you would come and convict us. Come, Holy Spirit, and set us free. I would like you right now, before I pray some deliverance prayers, I would like you right now to confess to the Holy Spirit, confess to the Lord, what he has convicted you of in the last few minutes. Just confess. I just sense in the Spirit there are certain ones here you've not been forgiving yourself. You've been beating yourself up. You've been walking around wallowed in guilt and striving and struggling and trying. And you just need to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm in my own strength. I embrace the grace tonight. I choose to forgive myself. I choose to lay my life down at your feet. I am your problem, not mine. Now, Lord, I pray right now you would come by the Holy Ghost and reveal whatever the root is behind the fear and anxiety. Lord, if there's sin that's unconfessed, that's compromised with. Lord, if there's shame, some deep burrowed shame, whether there's been inner vows, whether there's been resistance to the Lordship of Jesus, or Lord, whether there's guilt, come Holy Spirit right now. Folks, if that's any one of those things, you just confess it to Jesus. Say, Lord, forgive me for wallowing, for making those vows. Just let it go. Say, I release those vows to you, Jesus. You have your way. Just do what you would. Forgive me for protecting myself. I'm willing to be vulnerable, even to be hurt, if necessary. That's okay, because you're bigger than me, and you'll take care of me. And our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I don't have to worry. Forgive me, Lord, for being in control. Forgive me for trying to orchestrate life or control people around me so that things don't upset me, so I don't live that tormenting fear. Forgive me, Lord. I'll let it go. Help me just to let people be who they are so I can be who I am. And I can find grace and hide in the secret place. Come, Holy Spirit. Just let it go to the Lord right now. Lord, come. Look at each heart. Forgive, Lord. Pour the blood of Jesus in this room. Wash the emotions and minds. Now say this after me in the name of Jesus. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because of Jesus, I have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I submit myself to God. When I resist the devil, he must flee. Thanks be to God, who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. For you have made me to be more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Satan, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I renounce you and your works. I renounce the lies, the suggestions, the whisperings, the nagging voices of accusation, judgment, fears, anxieties, doubts, and worries. Lord, forgive me for unbelief tonight. Break my heart, change my heart, do whatever you got to do to put faith deep in my soul and to build a foundation of trust. Come on, say it with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody look here. How many of you have never been in a mass deliverance? You've never been in a mass deliverance. Okay, if you don't know what that is, what a mass deliverance is, because this is a series I'm doing on mass deliverance, I'm just going to begin to, in Jesus' name, address spirits and command them to come out. No more complicated than that. I really believe Christians can have demons. That's an anathema notion in most places, but it's clear in Scripture. To date, I've cast out demons to over 2,500 people, all of them born again. I believe Christians can have demons. And I believe that we can cast them out. And when we do mass deliverance, all you got to do is sit there and agree. That's all you got to do. If two of us shall agree, as touching anything on earth, they shall just agree and resist. You just say, when I name a certain area, you say, yeah, in your brain go, man, that's me. I struggle with that. You just say, go. In Jesus' name, go. Now, it doesn't mean everything you renounce leaves. It doesn't. But it means certain things will. Whatever the Holy Ghost is ready to set you free from. Really, it depends on your heart. Depends on what's been dealt with underneath. Amen? If you have a meek and broken heart, God will do mighty works in you. If there's something resisting, last week I did a mass deliverance on, what was it, guilt. And there was a spirit in the middle of the room. I had my eyes closed. I could see it. And it was mocking me. I could see that ugly thing. Man, the anointing came. I rebuked that. Well, somebody came to me later and they said that was in me. They said, man, something in my head was screaming at you to shut up. I said, I know. I saw that thing. I said, but it's okay. She said, when you rebuked it, it shut up. Satan does not like people that go through mass deliverance. He despises it. Very few churches in the United States minister in this. Very, very, very few. It's very common in the third world. I've been privileged in India and Central and South America to minister in mass deliverance. I ministered in the villages in and around Paramakudi and Madurai, between there. You know the temple city? Those folks are not in there. Praise God. But we here in America, we don't have demons, see, so we don't need mass deliverance. Right? Psychosomatic stuff. Just give our kids Ritalin and they're fine. It's demons. Oh, Lord. Father, I pray you come with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Now, all you got to do, the word spirit in the Greek and the Hebrew is the word breath. It's the same word. Nefesh, ruach, pneuma, breath. And most spirits, when you cast them out of people, they simply come out like, it's all in is a breath. Now, once in a while, it may come out other ways. A lot of times when a spirit will come out of me through yawning or coughing. Sometimes, rather deep, significant deliverance. Deep-rooted, particularly if it's a deep-rooted thing. There may be a lot of other manifestations. But generally, the word is ekbalo. You shall cast out spirit. The word literally means to vomit out. Ekbalo. That's found a number of places in the New Testament. Christ very amply talked about this. So, Lord, I pray you'd come and set us free from whatever it is you want to set us free tonight. I take authority in Jesus' name over every unclean spirit that would hinder this deliverance. Father, I pray you'd loose the angels of the Lord in the room to do and to trot these things off where they need to go. And in Jesus' name, I take authority of all the anxieties, all the spirits of anxiety. The Bible says we're not given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. And I command all the anxious spirits, the tormenting spirits, the whispering spirits, the spirits of anxious thought, troubling thought, anxious worry, come out in Jesus' name right now. Come on. Come on. Out of the emotions, out of the mind, I command you to come right now. Come on. Anxieties, worries, doubts, I break you. Come on. Loose. Loose the saints right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Anxious thoughts, anxious worries, troubled worries, fear in the pit of the stomach, gnawing fears, deep-leveled panicking, paranoid fears. I take your power right now. Come on. Loose the mind, loose the emotions, come up out of the emotions in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to send the angel of the Lord and pull them out like weeds, Lord. Just pull them out by the roots in Jesus' name. So I pull them out. I hand these things. Come up by the roots in Jesus' name. I grab a hold of this fear, tormenting fears around the mind, fear of things to come, fear of tomorrow, fear of consequence, fear of repercussions. I take your power and command out of the mind in Jesus' name. Out of the mental, out of the facets of the mind, out of the imagination in the name of Jesus. Come on, fear. Come on, out in Jesus' name. Come on. Leave now. Take a deep breath. Let them go. I break your power. Take your power. Go in Jesus' name. Come on. Fears, doubts, worries, anxieties, frettings, troublings, torments. Take your power. Come on out of the saints tonight. Come on. Out of the lung area, out of the chest, around from the heart. Bible said, be not afraid. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I pick the spirit of fear around the heart that's attached to heart trouble, heart attack in Jesus' name. All the problems, all the curses of heart attack and stroke. Take the fear of heart attacks, fear of heart trouble, particularly if it's in the family line. We break the generational curse of heart problems in Jesus' name off the family line. Take it in Jesus' name. Fear of being heart attack, fear of heart problems, fear of heart palpitations in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray in your mercy to loose healing in the heart. Lord, that there would be proper function of the heart. Father, that you would come and fix the chambers of the heart and heal tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, fight, y'all. Work with me here. Bush, the apprehensions. Apprehensions, attraction to horror movies, in Jesus' name. Anybody here that likes to watch horror movies and movies that instill fear, folks, in Jesus' name, you open the door and you let these spirits in. You're a fool, in Jesus' name, to watch those trashy movies. And a lot of these movies now, a lot of times I've heard of people, they're tormented because they watch some stupid movie. Can I amen? And then movies that slasher movies, and the Bible talks in Isaiah 32 about not looking at things that have to do with shedding of blood, the splattering and all this. This is terrible stuff. If you've done that, you say, Lord, forgive me and cleanse my mind of the memory of the perversions of the occult. If you look at these occultic movies or movies about scary things, look, I was a kid. I used to watch horror movies when I was a kid, like all kids do. And, you know, I've gotten some real deliverance from that stuff because there were some movies. I remember when I was a kid in the 50s, I saw some movie about Mars. One of those horror movies in the 50s. And I remember hiding behind the seat, peeking through, asking my brother, were the scary parts done? Do you know, I remember 15, 20 years later, I still would be afraid from that movie. And I'd say, Lord, cleanse my mind from the fear. A spirit of fear came into me as a little kid. Ghost stories, talking about things of the witchcraft and the occult. I break the spirit of bewilderment. Chronic fears, claustrophobia, fear, fantasy, fear about being stuck in a little place and you'll never get out. I break the fear of claustrophobia in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. A lot of times that comes on because when you were little, you were punished, thrown in a closet or something, and told to stay there. You know, that can open your fear of closed places. Cowardice, fear of being alone. Come on. Fear of being alone. Fear, a dread, panic, embarrassment. Embarrassment, fear of what other people think. Come on, y'all fighting out there? Are y'all awake? Come on, put a little action in this. Excessively sensitive, overly sensitive. Always thin-skinned. I break the power of those spirits that would torment us in these areas. Push to you. Fear of abandonment. Fear that everybody's going to leave me. Fear of being accused. Fear of authorities. Fear that you're going to be beat up by a mad authority is going to be mad at you. Fear, being intimidated, fear of authorities. Lord, I pray for healing of our fathers and our mothers and all our attitudes. Lord, you show us the sin of where we judged our parents. And as a result, we walk in fear of authority. Fear of being attacked. Fear of being raped by women. I break the power of that fear. Molestation in Jesus' name. Fear of being exposed. Fear of being humiliated. It's nothing but pride of life. I break the fear in Jesus' name. Fear of being wrong. Fear of cancer, Fear of generational curses, infirmities. Fear of being confronted. In Jesus' name. Fear of being confronted. Fear of always having defenses and not willing to be corrected. I break its power in the name of Jesus. Fear of correction. Fear of darkness. I break the power of darkness. The Bible says in Psalm 139, in the whether it's dark or light, he is there. Fear of darkness. Fear of death. I break the power of fear of death. The Bible says in Hebrews that the Lord has defeated the power of death. But when he died, I break the power of fear of death in Jesus' name. Paul said to be absent of the body, to be present with the Lord. Come on, fear of death. Go. I paint the power of fear of death. Go. That was a fear that had a hold of me. In fact, that spirit had a hold of me so bad. We were at a church retreat once. I don't know if some of y'all remember that. Like 7 or 8 people had me down, and I was on a bench. I fell on the floor. This thing came out of me. It was a fear of death. It was a spirit, like a corkscrew, came right out of me. Happened years ago. And that thing had been in me since I was a kid. You know, now I don't want to die. I want to live every last minute. But you know what? I'm not walking around afraid of it. I don't have these old nightmares about dying. And I was tormented by dying. Praise God, I'm free. In the name of Jesus, I pick that fear of death. I command that spirit to go. Pick your power. Lord, I ask you to show the roots of that thing. Suicide brings that on. Particularly if it's a generational curse of suicide in the family line. I pick any suicidal curses. See, my grandfather committed suicide. My mother's dad committed suicide, shot himself because he had stomach cancer. And I think that's where that spirit came into me, because of the suicide of my family line. Lord, I pray you'd break the generational curses of suicide. In Jesus' name. And as it's a spirit of death, spirit of self-inflicted death, a fear of premature death, I pick its power. Hand you to go. Pick your power off these saints. Hand you to go in Jesus' name. Go. All the suicide in the family line. The Bible says it's not wise to die before your time. Push the andalamonte. The fear of demons. Fear of being a fear of fighting spiritual warfare. Intimidated by demons. You know, the truth is demons are scared to death of you if you ever got the guts to fight them. Fear of diabetes. Fear of the any generational curse to die. How many of y'all have diabetes in your family? Okay, in Jesus' name, put your hand back up. Lord, we just break in Jesus' name the curse of diabetes right now. I pick its power. We cancel it by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we pick its power right now. I cancel it. I break the curse of diabetes in the family line. Pick it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy, just send an angel. Just blot out all the generational curses. You cannot pass down on these saints. You cannot pass down on their children. We cancel it. 2, 3, 10 generations. Pick its power in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for clear stabilization of all the sugars in their body, Lord. Everything to operate functionally, normally. We're going to be having a mass deliverance of infirmities in a few weeks, so we'll be dealing with these a lot deeper. Fear of being disapproved. Fear of failure. Fear of flying. I mean, I'll start with fear of flying. That kind of ties with the fear of death. The truth is, you're more likely to die driving than you are flying. Fear of driving on the freeways. I break that. Fear of giving love. Fear of being open. Fear of being vulnerable. Come on. Fear of being vulnerable. Fear of opening yourself up to others. Withdrawing from others. Fear of heights. I paint the power of that in Jesus' name. Fear of losing your salvation. Fear of making wrong decisions. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on, any of these spirits, I expose you, Lord, I ask you just release them out of the mind. We expose the mental stronghold, fear of man, fear of being tormented by fear of not being loved by man, fear of pain, fear of people, fear of being standing up in front. Anybody, if you got fear of standing up in front of people, why don't you come up here and tell us all about it? I'm sorry. That'll break. Fear of receiving love, fear of rejection, fear of being rejected, fear of being overly sensitive in that area, fear of always reading rejection in people, fear of being the immaturity of that. The Bible says, he that fears is not made perfect in love. Lord, I know that when we love, or we are loved, we know we are loved, or when we love, fear loses its power. I thank you, Lord, that fear of man, if there's somebody you're afraid of, there's some relationship that you're intimidated by, there's some personality that intimidates you, it puts apprehension in you, you're afraid when you get around them because the spirit on them transfers to you. Folks, that's a bondage and you're under witchcraft. I break the power of that witchcraft. I break the power of spirits of witchcraft that would seek to control you. You get around certain personalities and all of a sudden you can't be yourself. I break the power of that intimidation and fear of man. I break that witchcraft. Lord, I pray for boldness, Lord, the righteous are bold as a lion. Lord, to do what's right, to stand up for what's right, to not care who rejects you, not care to be more afraid of what God thinks than what men think. Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Lord. And the fear of man brings a snare. We break the power of the fear of man. Lord, give us opportunity and the guts and the courage to stand up for what's right, even though we're soundly rejected by others, so we can walk in the security of the love of our Father. In Jesus' name. Fear of being, fear of responsibility, fear of taking on more than, fear that we can't walk in what God has presented to us. Fear of sexual sin, fear that sin will overcome you, fear of sexual propensities, fear of frigidity in Jesus' name. I break its power. Fear that sexual problems are going to overcome you. Fear of the future. Fear of the power of sexual powers. Fear that your sexual drive is bigger than you. Fear that your perversion, fear of perversions. I break its power in Jesus' name. Come on. Break its power. Jesus Christ crushes these sins. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. Come on, Iantana. Everybody take a deep breath. Fear of sickness, fear of being sick, fear of being knocked out, fear of being intimidated by sickness. When you're first hit by some kind of a flu, or sent, just immediately succumbing to it rather than standing against it and saying, no, I will not receive this in Jesus' name. Fear of violence, fear of, how many of y'all have grinding of teeth? Raise your hand. You tend to grind your teeth. Okay. Lord, I pray for those right now. Come, Lord Jesus. I pray you'd bring deliverance in Jesus' name. Come. Lord, whatever that fear is, in Jesus' name, Lord, that manifests even in their subconscious, even when they're asleep. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for deep deliverance that, Lord, that it would be evident even in their subconscious, Lord. For a lot of times, dreams come by the busyness of life, Lord, that the very things that manifest in dreams are that which is surface in the life. Lord, you bring the root, bring to the surface, Lord, that which is causing this problem of grinding of the teeth. And I break the spirit. I break the power of the spirit over them. I break its authority. Lord, come and bring healing and deliverance. Bring light and revelation to set them free. Hypochondria. What is that? Fear that, huh? Oh, that's right. Even though you might not be sick, you're blaming everything making you sick. Lord, I prayed. Yeah, I've known people like that. It rules with self-pity, doesn't it? Kind of, you know, poor me. It's kind of a control thing. Hysteria, inability to relax. There's one. Inability to relax. Can't ever get still. Anxious, always trembling, always moving, never restful. I really believe one of the significant words that describe demonization more than any others is restlessness. In the name of Jesus, I come against restlessness. Come on, restlessness, inability to get still. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. He speaks in a still small voice. He leads us by the still waters. Come on, restlessness, come on. Tormenting spirits of restlessness. Come on. Come on, out in Jesus' name. Leave now. Leave now. I break your power. Satan, I hand you to go. Now, I cast you out. Ekbalo, I break your power. Go, I hand you to go. I thrust you out of this place. I command you to leave these saints now. Father, send your angels. Just come through here. All of those that are agreeing with me and resisting the enemy, Lord, come and lift it off of them. Folks, you've got to cooperate. If you resist and I resist, that's two against one against the enemy. Inadequacies, low self-esteem, beat yourself, mental torments. You know, the scripture says, fear hath torment. In the name of Jesus, I come against the mind control spirits. Spirits that just grip the mind, grip the thoughts, where you kind of lose control of your thought life. It's just kind of chaotic and discordant, and you find you got headaches a lot, or you have to take alcohol or take aspirins or take drugs of some sort just so you can have a peaceful mind. In Jesus' name, I come against that mind control spirit right now. Come on. all the vices over the mind, all the grips over the mind, all the psychic powers, any witchcraft, any generation or any transference from other people, intimidations, fears. I take the power of the fear. I take that fear off the minds in Jesus' name. Go. Go. I command you to go. Go. Hand you to go. Out. Leave the room. Leave the room in Jesus' name. Lord, just lift him up. Take a deep breath, folks. Let him go. Thrust him out tonight. In Jesus' name. Migraine headaches. How many of y'all get migraine headaches? How many of y'all get headaches? Just headaches, periodically, for no known reason. I'll tell you a secret. When that headache comes on, before you grab the Excedrin or whatever you run to, because you're just masking, you're not dealing with it, it may be temporary, but the headache will come back. And I'm not against medicine. I'm not saying sit there, you know, suffer forever, you know, if you got to take it. But I'm saying we ought to seek first the kingdom. Can you hear amen? Here's the thing you do. You put your hand on your head and you say, Lord, you show me if there's a spirit involved here. Now, sometimes headaches may be no more than you ate too much sugar or you dehydrated. You understand? I mean, there may be a physiological reason. Sometimes we have fast days and sometimes I'll eat too many jelly beans, and the next day I get this horrible headache. Well, it's not a spirit, because I was eating sugar yesterday, and I'm fasting today. But sometimes it's a spirit. So you just say, Lord, you show me if this is a spirit. And you just wait and pray in tongues, and God will show you there may be a spirit. And you begin to rebuke that thing. You know that headache leaves. You'll find out, hey, praise God. I don't have to go to the drugs. Can you amen? Nightmares. How many of y'all suffer with nightmares periodically? Just visitations in the night. Just fear in the night. How many dreams where there's fear in it? Somebody's chasing you. Huh? Well, you know what? No, listen to those dreams. A lot of times when you get dreams, somebody's chasing you or you're just cornered. You know, a lot of times the Holy Ghost was trying to show you. He's trying to speak to you in those dreams. But in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would deliver us. Your Bible says He gives us His beloved sleep. And I break the power of the tormentor of the night. The Bible says the enemy, while men slept, the enemy sowed his tares. And we break the power of the enemy coming in. I bind the spirits that would torment the believers in Jesus' name. I take your power. By the way, it's a good prayer to pray before you go to bed. If you have a problem with that, say, Lord, would you put your angels round about my mind? Amen? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.